name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Sisters, we are at the Sunday after the exaltation of the holy, precious, and life-giving cross. You see the cross before us in the center of the church. And we'll speak about this great instrument of our salvation, this holy, precious cross. But I want to share with you first a story about a primitive tribe out in the middle of nowhere who was isolated from civilization. But they were visited by someone who gave them a gift, and it was a gift of a sundial. And this tribe received that gift with great appreciation. They almost considered it like a sacred object, something that was mysterious to them, but of great value. And they took this sundial and they built a hut for it. And this hut was small and it had no windows and it had just one door that you could open and go in. And this hut enclosed this sundial and they kept it there as this sacred treasure. Now, of course, the primitive tribe didn't realize what that sundial was for because it was enclosed in this hut and the sun couldn't shine on it. And they misused this great instrument, this great tool that had been given to them, that could have revolutionized their whole life, changed everything. You might think it even is a little bit funny. You might laugh at them, have a little chuckle or smirk, and in a way it is funny. But anytime we bring forward something at the expense of others, we always bring it back to ourselves, right? And we're about to do that, so get ready. The sundial illustrates for us how precious time is. Time is exceedingly precious. And the sundial allows us to make good use of our time. Good use, really, of our life, because that's what time is, right? Time is life. You know, the Lord has given us a great gift. Even our advanced civilization has received this gift from Him. And that's the gift of the internal sundial, the cross. The internal sundial, the cross, the knowledge of our mortality. That's how we measure time, right, brothers and sisters? Not so much by seconds, or minutes, hours, or days, by our time in existence here in this world. And that's given to us deep within our heart. We like to keep it there, though. Right? Deep in our subconscious, we kind of don't want to think about our mortality. If we could, we would build a hut around it. Maybe another enclosure around that hut. Make sure no sun gets on it, and we don't even have to deal with the fact that we're mortal. In fact, you know, we're very good at that. We have excessive care for our bodies that cover this internal knowledge of the cross or mortality. Our clothing preoccupies us, our homes, our cars, our man caves, our she sheds. All of these things, right? They're enclosures around our mortality. If we could just somehow, through these things, almost stop time. Like, if you enclose a sundial within a hut, maybe time would stop too. Maybe somehow we could slow down the universe, extend our lifetime. Maybe somehow this cross couldn't get us if we cared so much for these external things. Of course, this is a great illusion. Some might even say delusion, a lie from the devil, who doesn't allow us to see the great gift of the cross. As Christians, we have to understand what the cross is for. And the knowledge of the cross for us Christians has to go beyond just the realization that we're mortal and we have to capitalize on every single moment we have in this life. That's sometimes the height of our Christian experience, the knowledge that we're mortal, so we're going to make good use of this time. We're going to live life well. You know, we plan out our education and our careers. We almost kill ourselves at work so we can squirrel away our possessions, retire at just the right time, because we've carefully estimated and calculated exactly how much we can spend to enjoy life in our aged bodies. And then if we're lucky, we die just as our resources run out. A life well planned, a life well lived. I'm sure I'm going to be sued if someone from a financial firm hears me quoting that. But that's often how we think about life. If we're really wise, if we're really going to be successful, that's what we hope for. Oh, no, one other thing, sorry. Right before we die, at our very last breath, we commit our whole life to Christ. Everything. We give it all to God. So that we can have the kingdom too, right? That's the best of this life and the best of the life to come. Brothers and sisters, that can't be the height of our Christian experience. That is utter foolishness. Even though on earth it's highly esteemed as that's the way to go. That's how you win as Christians, right? You win now, you win then. You know what the Lord says? The things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination in the sight of God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. The purpose of the internal cross is not so that we can master the sundial and figure out how to organize and plan our life so we can squeeze out every little drop of selfishness and enjoyment and pleasure and all of those things that the world has to offer to us. That's not why we have been given the gift of the cross. As Christians, we understand the meaning of the cross through the one who was crucified, through Jesus Christ. He's the one who has given the cross to us. And not just to Christians, but to all of mankind. The cross is a great gift from God, and we'll speak about why. But the one who gives the gift knows how the gift must be used. The one who gave that sundial to this primitive tribe knew how it needed to be used. And Christ tells us what to do with our crosses, how to use them. The exaltation of the cross, the lifting up of the cross, is not a morbid fascination with death, by no means. We lift up the cross because it's through the cross that we see what true life is. We see the life of God on the cross. And it's this that we desire. It's Christ whom we desire. Not death, but life. Through the cross, life has come into the world. And that's what we seek to acquire for ourselves. We heard it in today's gospel reading. As he called the people to himself and his disciples, he said, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life," who doesn't desire to save their life? What is he saying? "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Lord is telling us that the cross is the way to actually save our life. Totally the opposite way of thinking, right? We think about self-preservation as the way to save our life, not self-sacrifice. You see the contrast here, opposite extremes. The Lord is saying, you want to save it, lay it down. How could that be? First, let's say, if we try to preserve it, do we actually succeed? Name me one person in the history of the world who tried to live a life well planned, a life well lived that didn't die. The best, the luckiest people. All of these people died. They died. They weren't able to do it. And Christ comes and he says, "You're doing it all wrong. You're looking in all of the wrong places. Why don't you try looking at the one place you would never think to look? The way you save your life is by losing it." Who would look there? No one. No one did until Christ revealed it to us as the way to life. For us, brothers and sisters, we see the cross as this way. And what does that mean for us practically? How can we really benefit from this instrument of the cross? I'll give you some ways. First, the cross is an internal alarm clock. It wakes us up to the fact that we are mortal, that our life is passing away, that knowledge of our mortality tells us this is transitory. You can't live in fantasy land. It doesn't last. So we hit snooze. Till next week, Father John says, the next week snooze. The next week snooze. Right? We continually hit snooze on the cross. We'll wake up at the last second of our life, right? That's the plan, right? Life will live, life will live. No, brothers and sisters. We never wake up if we do that. That last act of our life of supposedly turning ourselves over to God is the last act of our selfishness. We never wake up from selfishness. We're continually asleep in this. The Lord is saying, wake up from that. Don't live for yourself anymore. Life is to be lived for God and for the other. That's how you wake up. And the cross is a great alarm clock. First thing. Second, the cross, our sufferings, our trials, our tribulations, open our eyes to our neighbor and to what they're going through. Not one person in here is suffering alone. Though we often feel that way. Look around. Look at each other. All of us are suffering. All of us are mortal. All of us have our passions, our sins, our broken relationships. All of these things, they afflict all of us. Our sufferings open ourselves up to see the sufferings of others and to have compassion. Compassion, if you break that word apart, you look at the etymology, it means co-suffering. And that's what Christ came to show us, what it is to co-suffer because of his love, because he sees us, even though we don't see each other. That's number two. The cross opens us up to a life of compassion. Number three, the cross gives us a chance at true love, real love. Love is defined in so many ways in this world. And it's usually a measure simply of our selfishness. I love this, I love that. I love this person because they give me what I want. It's a measure of our selfishness. Love, as defined by God, is the opposite. It's the measure of our selflessness. I love so much that I would lay down my life for this person. Isn't that what the Lord says? No greater love can a person have than this, than to lay down his life for the other. The cross is the laying down of one's life for the other. It's the experience of true love. And of course, this leads, and this is really, union with a God who is love. And that God who is love is also the God who is life. And when we're united to God, who is life, we never die. We live forever. We experience eternal life even now, in this age. We taste an existence that will never fade away. Brothers and sisters, the cross for us opens heaven, opens right relationship with God and right relationship with one another. Opens to us eternal life. The cross, if you will, it's the portal through which we enter into eternal life. It's a window, it's a door that opens that we go through. When we see the cross, we treasure it, we cherish it, we put it on the tops of our buildings, we wear it around our neck. In our homes, we have crosses. We continually make the sign of the cross on ourselves. It's our mode of life, it's our very existence, it's our resurrection. The Lord closed this short gospel reading in the short service that we're gathered for. I'm going to share it with you in my short sermon, quote unquote, as we live our short lives, very short. Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Brothers and sisters, the cross is our way to receive the kingdom of God present with power even before we die. It's an opportunity for us that we must seize, and we must seize now. We must seize the opportunity now to go from selfishness to selflessness, self-preservation to self-sacrifice, to go from death to life. Recover the cross in your lives. Find it deep in your heart. Let it be the instrument of transformation. Let that cross lead to the death of the old way and the rebirth of Christ, newness of life, deep in the recesses of your being, your very personhood. Let it be that portal by which you enter into the age to come, even now. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.